Yes, like what I've said this morning, this evening sermon on the theme of dynamics of spiritual gifts is also last in our series of study. I hope and I pray that it has been of help to you in understanding the nature of each spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit has endowed us with, and it is the Holy Spirit who not only confers on us the gifts, but also the one who enables us to develop and exercise all these spiritual gifts. I'd like to highlight to all of us that the Apostle Paul has listed these gifts in an order from the most important to the least important. Alright, there is a certain order there if you look at the list that are given. And of course, what Paul has already brought out, all those gifts, we can quite safely conclude that it is not exhaustive. Alright? There could be more gifts which may not be there, or it could be in another form explained in other parts of Scripture. Okay? So, Paul has listed those gifts in the order from the most important to the least important. And that is why you see that the apostle come on the top of the list. Alright? And the speaking of tongues is last. But I'd like to say, as what I brought up this morning again, each of these gifts is in no way superior or inferior one to the other. It all has its function and purpose, and the Holy Spirit sees it best to bestow whatever gift in whatever measure the Holy Spirit has given. Alright? So the Holy Spirit will dispense the gift or gifts to individual believers as He sees best, and our part as believers, as members in the body of Christ, we are to receive these gifts in humility, prayerfully develop it and exercise it through the power of the Holy Spirit, because we know again, and I'm repeating this, that the exercise, the ability to display or to exercise these spiritual gifts comes also from the Holy Spirit. The second last gift of this list of spiritual gifts that Paul has listed is the gift of government, or the gift of governing. Some translators have translated the word government as administration or as administrator. This gift, I'd like to highlight to all of us, is found only in 1 Corinthians 12:28. And in the original text, that word there, government, all right, which is derived from the Latin, means to steer, and it can be referred to one who is responsible to bring a ship into the harbor, like a steerman on a ship. The spirit gives this spiritual gift of administration or government, if you would like to call it, and it is the ability to guide, to pilot, to steer, and to direct the life and order of the church. This is the purpose of this gift. All right, this gift is given to those to put them in a position to guide and direct the affairs of the church. It does not carry the idea as we normally understand it to be. Administrator is not just doing paperwork. Okay, in the sense here, it means directing or leading. Okay, and it is to put in order through the leadership, and it is very important, especially when the church goes through very difficult time or rough water, if you want to put it that way. Okay, and so therefore the Lord deems it fit for the church to have to have such people with this gift in the church, so as to steer and direct the church out of a storm, as it were. And as I said, this person who has this gift is not just concentrating his effort on paper, on paperwork. In fact, in contrast, he pays attention to the people, their welfare, and the good of the life of the church as a whole. So we can say that those who have these gifts are not necessary to be in just in leadership position. Yes, it has the sense of telling us that these people who have these gifts are to govern or to direct and administer the affairs of the church as overseers, as administrators. And normally in terms of, as what we understand it in our system, as we can define their offices as elders or deacons. So the people, yes, before this, the person who is given this gift as a steerman is not the captain. Alright? He is not the boss, per se. He is the first, he is not the captain. He is the, he has been given this gifts and of an ability, and it not only in the area of administrating, as I said, but he works together with those others in the church to administer the affairs. And by working together and cooperating with the rest of the other gifts, all right, it is a very essential work in the church. In the foreground of preachers and pastors and teachers who hold the limelight, who is, you know, always on the pulpit, these administrators of these who are given the gift of government, right, they are in the background. They are those who shoulder the daily routine, the administration of the church. There are parts of the body that are never be seen, as what we understand from Paul's illustration of using the human body. And so these administrators are also people who work behind the scene, people who are running the show without being seen or noticed. They serve the church in ways that, like some of those who have the gift of helps, they serve without winning publicity, without being noticed. And one good example that I can bring to you of one who has this gift of government or administration or leadership or as overseer is the prophet Nehemiah. Nehemiah was responsible in his days for the great work of rebuilding Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem. And he was in that passage described as having this spiritual gift of organization or spiritual gift of administration and leadership. And the word administrator is used of him. If the work of the church is to go on, for this church in particular, to go on and to expand, it will not only need the leadership of pastors and preachers or elders or deacons, it also need those those who have this gift of administration and government. It is possible, very possible, that the work of administration or governance rests on the shoulders of elders and deacons, pastors or preachers, but it is definitely not exclusively for them only. Okay? Because, for example, in a fellowship group, you have also fellowship leaders who has this gift of leadership, who has this gift of administration, right? In a sense, in a sub-unit sense, as compared to, say, in a church. So, though we should not say that only pastors, elders, deacons has this gift of administration and government. All right, it is not exclusive for them. The administrator is to take charge. He is the take charge person. The administrator needs to jumpstart the work, perhaps giving orders. Don't get me wrong. When I say giving orders, is not in the sense of what you get from your employer or what you get from your military commanders, Okay, this is a church. Always remember that, and I will later on tell us and emphasize why, how should these gifts be exercised. The administrators not only put on paper the plan, ensures all the details are carried out, assigns responsibility perhaps, organizes the budget, and he sits down and count the cost before the building starts. See? And he ensures the quality of workmanship. And also, he has the role of delegating a responsibility, which of course many of us here understanding it as playing Tai Chi, but playing Tai Chi in the right sense. Okay? So, if there is a program or an event to take place in the church, the administrator or the person with this gift has to carry out the plan and to follow through the plan and to make sure it is very carried out more effectively. The administrator is one who also derives great joy and fulfillment in not standing in the limelight or receiving all the applause, all right? But in seeing all the parts come together in a finished product. That's how the one who has this gift, he or she will not like to be in the forefront, so to speak. But he has great joy in seeing and making sure that all of the other gifts in the church work together. The helping gifts, which we have studied the last time, includes the gifts of administration. Giving, service, helps, hospitality, mercy. These gifts complement the body of Christ by enhancing those who have the gifts of government. You see how it works? Isn't it not true? Yes, you may be the leaders, you may shout your throat out, but nobody listens and nobody follows your instruction. Nobody wants to buy your plan, so to speak. It won't work. So you see, the rest of the other gifts, the gifts of giving, service, hospitality, mercy, faith, all these gifts complement the body of Christ by enhancing the gift of administration and or government. The helping gifts are most plentifully needed in the church, but they are often neglected. Without those who have the gift of helps, the administrator, the leaders, is as good as not having those gifts. All right? The helping gifts are critical gifts, essential to the health of the church. Some would think that they are not important, but without them, without the other gifts, the gifts of help, the gifts of all that Paul has listed, without them, the church is going to fail in its ministry and mission. Without them, those who try to exercise the gift of government or administration or leadership and teaching and the likes are destined to frustration and futility, right? To fail. These are the gifts that hold the church together. I hope you understand right now how each gift operates and how each contributes one to another. No one can say that he can operate or exercise his or her gifts on his or her own. You can have the pianist play all she or he wants on the piano and nobody wants to sing and entertain perhaps him or herself. And same likewise, the PA, you can turn it on, but no one exercises the gift of preaching. No point having the PA system in that sense. So, these are the gifts that hold the church together. The gift of administration is included in all these other gifts because it undergirds all the public gifts. The special ability God gives to certain Christians to understand clearly the immediate and long-range goals of the church in the body of Christ is for those to exercise this gift. But it all has to work together with the rest of the other gifts. On the surface, it seems that the gifts of leadership and administration are the same because we see them interlocking at times, It also seems that the gifts of being a good manager or a good administrator are the same because they interlock. But leadership has different qualities, found usually in one who lead. The gift of a manager is perhaps of lesser importance, as many managers may report to an administrator. While the gifts are different, they are complementary. Remember this. They are complementary. Leaders are the visionaries, agents of change. Administrators are managers of that change. Leaders see the need and can inspire people to desire it. Administrators are the one through whom change generally happens, who can sort out the details and parcel out the whole process of that change. Leaders create effectiveness. Administrators create efficiency. Leaders are goal-oriented. Administrators are process-oriented. Leaders deal with vision. Administrator deals with tasks. Leaders without administrator tend to do primary things poorly. Administrator without leaders tend to do secondary things well. Leaders provide motivation to get the big things done, and administrator make sure that in the process, the little things are not ignored. So you may have the gift of administration if you quickly understand the situation that seems difficult for others, but then those who have this gift, they enjoy planning and solving problems. They have an eye for detail, and they can work with the leaders. Administrators are well informed about the organization and its environment. They are good organizational people and effective time managers. On top of all these abilities in this church, administrators must exhibit specific Christian maturity with an obvious commitment to Christ and His church. That is why our brother John read to us the qualities of elders and deacons in 1 Timothy. They must not be novice, as Paul instructs Timothy in the selection of leaders. Those who have this gift of government or administration, they must not be novice, they must be matured Christians. Leadership requires vision. In a time of a rapidly changing environment and changing situation around us and in the church, those who are proactive in diagnosing and anticipating and strategically planning for the change will succeed. Pastors, preachers, elders, and their administrators have the most significant involvement and influence in the overall affairs of the church. And therefore, it is prudent for them to notice the change and see and seek the Lord's help in revising, in planning, in getting things changed and done in a way that would edify the church and promote the kingdom of God. They are usually considered responsible and accountable for the success of the church or the effectiveness of the church, of their Christian witness. The effectiveness of our leaders will be determined by their success in leading those important changes and the implementation resulting in the achievement of their spiritual goals. Outstanding leaders need good administrators. Leadership is dependent upon administration. The qualities needed in a good administrator are the ability to forecast the future, establish objectives, program the work, schedule the time sequence, budget the cash flow perhaps, initiate the procedures for performing specific work, determining policy of the church, manage the risk, ensure the health and vitality of the body of Christ and those involved, and that the tasks are administered in the way that speaks of the quality that will bring praise and glory to the Lord. Yes, I mentioned that leaders can have vision. They are, we should have visionary leaders. but the administrator is required to steer the work. The gift of government, the gift of administration or leadership can be intermixed. So a believer can have one or more of these gifts, and I'd like to add that this beautiful mix of spiritual gifts is so designed by God through the Holy Spirit to ensure or to enable the growth of His church. But more importantly, those of us who have this gift of government, who are called to be overseers of the inheritance of God, of God's people, again, we are reminded by the exhortation of Paul to Timothy, they are to exercise that gift or temper that gift with what I said this morning, the best of all gifts, the gift of love. Every of our gifts, brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever it may be, we are to temper it with the gift of love. We are to exercise it with love. Not, especially those of us who have this gift of overseeing, leadership, administrators, or in church government, we are not to lord over the Lord's inheritance. We are to show them love. We are to exercise it very carefully in sobriety, because we, who are leaders, are accountable to God not only for the progress and growth of the church, we are accountable to the welfare and the good of every member of the body of Christ. So therefore, may the Lord help us to exercise our gift. We will end this whole series of study, and next week, God willing, we will embark on a new series. And the reason why I have chosen that for our new series, because of the need, as I'm reminded by my seminary training by Dr. Peter Master, the need to have evangelistic sermon in order for the church to grow. That is the main and primary purpose of the pulpit, to declare the gospel truth. And so, please pray for me as I embark on this new series of study with you. And again, coming back to the spiritual gifts, especially to those who are here, and you are the core members of this church, I hope this whole series of study of gifts, of spiritual gifts, is of help to you to understand your role in this church and how you ought to exercise it. And like I said this morning, we are responsible or we are accountable to God for our spiritual gifts, whatever it may be. It seems insignificant perhaps to some people, but yet, please be reminded, we have to give an account to God for all our spiritual gifts. Even the one gift that you have, you are to use it for His glory, for the edification of the saints and the body of Christ. May the Lord give us more godly zeal and fervor to serve Him, and may we continue to seek the help of the Holy Spirit to develop all our spiritual gifts for the furtherance of His work here in this church. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, once again, Lord, as we conclude this series of study, the dynamics of spiritual gifts. Indeed, Lord, we see how wonderful Thy design is for Your church, how You have so willed that we be instruments of Thy peace, that we, as members of the body of Christ, we are truly equipped with every spiritual gifts for the benefit of one another and for Your work. Oh Lord, we pray that now Your Spirit will move us and challenge us to put into practice what we have learned, and grant us more love for Thee, more love for Thy people, more love and compassion for lost souls. Oh Lord, we pray that in the remaining days of our life and our journey here, Lord, grant unto us that love for Thee and that fervency.
till you come and receive us unto yourself. So help us, we pray, for we ask all this in Jesus' name.